running till the sun went down, and then you'd fill him a jug and he'd pass it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, Pappy's corn squeezing.
White lightning.
That's what they called Wayne Wheeler when he played in the wishbone offense for Alabama in the early 1970s, and he joins us this morning down in Florida doing a hurricane watch this morning for Elsa. Good morning, Wayne. Appreciate you being with us.
Morning.
So morning. They still call you White Lightning?
Well, actually, they called me Greyhound.
Oh, yeah? Where's the Greyhound come from? For the same thing, I'm sure, the speed.
Yeah. Well, I was called T-Head in high school, and one of my teammates at Alabama, Robin Parkhouse, we played at the same high school. He said, well, it's time to change your name, so we'll start calling you Greyhound.
Nah. What, do you have a preference on all these nicknames?
Nah. None of them bother me. I don't care.
What did Coach Bryant call you?
I still have kids from high school still call me T-Head.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering, you know, when you were playing for Coach Bryant, did he have nicknames for guys, or did he ever refer to you by name or all? What was that like?
No, I never. I think Johnny Musso is the only one that might have been referred to by a nickname.
Yep.
That I remember.
Well, it's this Wishbone Boys documentary is coming up, and we've had a great time talking to some guys, some that you played with, obviously, already. And, first off, I would like to know what the weather's like. You see, you're down there exactly. You said pretty close to Daytona in Florida. Tell us what it looks like down there so far.
Well, all we're getting is rain right now, being on the east side of the coast. It looks like the storm's going to go north of us, hit up around Cedar Key and cut across the state. We could get some tornadoes, but I doubt it. I don't think we're going to get anything in Central Florida much.
Well, you came up in Florida. You're from Orlando, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So, how did you kind of get on the radar for Alabama? How did that work out that you ended up in Tuscaloosa?
Well, actually, I thought I was going to be going to the University of Florida. They started recruiting me in the 10th grade, and I pretty much figured, well, that's where I'm going to go. And I didn't hear from Alabama until right at the end of the recruiting, and they started recruiting two of us from my high school, myself and Steve Dean, who was a running back. And I was recruited by the track coach.
Did you do track?
Yes. That was probably my best sport.
What was your 40 time? Did they keep 40 times back then like they do now?
4.3.
Wow.
That was what it was in college.
I could see why they wanted you on the track team then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you bring up Florida, I want to ask about this, because Steve Spurrier was a quarterback and won the Heisman Trophy in the mid-60s there at 66, and you would have been coming up at that time as a player in high school. And were you a Florida fan since they were interested in you as well, and what swayed you to Alabama?
Well, really, that was the team that I knew the most about. And because they started recruiting me at an early stage, you know, I just naturally kind of fell into that. Robin Parkhouse had already left my high school, and he was at Alabama at the time. And evidently, Coach Bryant went and asked him about any players that he knew of in Florida. And like I said, we were recruited at the last minute. And actually, as soon as they called up and said they were going to offer me a scholarship, I said I'd take it. And I still had another trip to make to the University of Florida. But when I went to Alabama, it was all about winning. When I went to Florida, it was all about fun. And I wanted to win.
Yeah. Worked out for you, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
You were there.
And surprisingly so, going to the wishbone, being a receiver, that's not where you'd ideally go.
Right.
But it really worked out good for me, because in that particular offense, the speed out of a receiver really was important, because you're getting a lot of man coverage.
Yeah. one of the most memorable plays you had was against Tennessee, the first play of the game, I guess, in a game which you guys won on a pass where you ran right by the defense and scored a touchdown. Is that the most memorable college play you had while you were there that you can remember? I mean, you had some more scores, obviously.
Yeah, probably because of the situation. Being the first play of the game, it was kind of Coach Moore and Coach Sharp had kind of talked to Coach Bryant, I guess, the week going into the game and saying that, well, this ought to be open, and they went ahead and tried the play. They said, you know, Coach Bryant said that depending on our field position, we'd go ahead and try it. And we generally just ran some sort of dive the first play of the game, every game.
Yep.
And, you know, we ran a play action pass off of it. And I mean, when I ran by the defensive back, he was coming up, you know, they were playing run all the way.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of smiling as I went by, you know, I was just praying that the ball got there. But it was really nothing to it.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. When we run Wishbone in high school, when you did pass, generally you were wide open as a paper sack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, they got to play that outside run game.
Yeah.
Those cornerbacks start wanting to come up and to make the tackle.
Yeah.
It is an offense that was run-based most of the time, but you were able to have some big plays and be a big part of it. You became an All-America player in that offense as a receiver. That seems probably surprising to many. It does to me. I mean, that you know, the accolades could come to a guy who probably didn't see the ball thrown to him as much. It's certainly nothing like today. Nobody threw it back then like they do now.
Right. Well, and that, again, that's because of the opening up on the deep ball. I think my yards per catch was like 20-some yards per catch, which, you know, that's not very common in any type of offense.
At Alabama, I mentioned Tennessee, by the way. You started streaks here then in the early 70s when this offensive transition to the wishbone came into play. Tennessee was a team that had Alabama's number in the recent years. Auburn would have been one of those teams. And, of course, we know what happened in the 1970s with all the victories versus the rivals and everybody else. I mean, what was it like during that time, obviously being in the national spotlight as one of the top teams in the country?
It was great. It's nice when you go into the game and you really don't believe you can be beat. And you brought up Auburn. Well, I was on the team that had the two punts blocked against us.
72 punt, Bama punt, yeah.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was just like a shock to everyone. And but in most cases, I can remember going out against Kentucky, and they were up on us like 26 points or something like that. And when we came out at halftime, I mean, everyone really felt like we were going to win the game, and we beat them by about that much, you know, in one half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Gary Rutledge was on with us here a few weeks back, and he was the quarterback for part of your time there at Alabama. And we talked about the great teams you had during your times. You were there in the early 70s again, 70 through 73. I guess 70 was your freshman year. You didn't get to play. They didn't let freshmen play then. But,
right.
I think he said 73 was the best team he thought. 71 was very good. All these teams were good, 71 through 73. What was your nod for the top team that you were on during that time?
From a team standpoint, I think I would have to concur with 73. And, we lost to Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl, but I still feel like we were a better team than we showed even in that game.
You
but all the teams, you know, we did well.
Yeah.
Every year, but I think talent wise, we were probably the best in 73.
After your college days, you were drafted and you did go play in the NFL. You had 1 year in Chicago with the Bears. Tell about an experience to get to play in the National Football League.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't do very well in the NFL.
You did have one touchdown. I just looked at the statistics there. Yeah, you did score a touchdown. So you have that in your record book, at least, that you did get a chance to score a TD in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I was hurt most of the time up there. When I went up to camp, I broke my foot in camp. And at that time, the players were on strike. And so I was getting a shot up every week so I could play in the preseason. And that problem with my foot kind of followed me throughout my NFL career. But it was a different ball game. I just didn't cope with it well. I didn't do well playing for money, you know. It was totally different than the attitude was at Alabama. You know, it was all about the team. And I was a typical jock, you know. That it was all fun and games for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, and now how things have changed again. You've kind of opened that up for me to ask what you think about this NIL stuff that's now in play for college athletes, something that we haven't seen up until now.
Well, at first I was totally against it, but I can see the point from the player's perspective, because getting a scholarship now is not the same as it was when I played. They are like pros. They plan to go into college and professional ball. I never did that. You know, I took what happened as it came. I didn't work towards it per se. And nowadays, it doesn't matter how much ability you have. It requires your total concentration as well, I believe. But I still get people sending me stuff now. I ask sometimes, well, I wonder if I'm going to get paid for this, because I sign stuff and whatnot. And, you know, Coach Bryant said, you know, take care of the fans. And I believe that. And I think you should. And I'd feel funny charging people for things like that.
Yeah, I understand that. After the stint with the Bears, you did play. I noticed you played with Birmingham, too, in the World League, the WFL. And the Vulcans was the team then in 1975, so you had a season there.
Yeah, well, time I got there, I got one trip to Hawaii. We went out there and played in Hawaii. And when I got back to Birmingham, they wanted us to take a percentage contract, and that's when I said, nah. And then I did go to Tampa Bay the first year. They had a team. Time, my attitude was really sorry. Yeah, I blame myself for my failures. You know, I know what it takes to be competitive, and I'd gotten to the point where I wasn't really doing what I needed to do. I was married when I entered Alabama. I had two kids while I was there. You know, so I had a family. I didn't have the typical college experience.
So after your playing days, what did you do, and what are you doing these days?
Well, I taught for 33 years, coached, and then taught. And I've been retired for about 12 years now.
Wow.
So now I just I got a hunting lease in Georgia, and I got a friend of mine that has a cabin over in Crystal River, and so I do a lot of hunting and fishing.
Yeah, it's a good thing when you're retired. What did you? How much?
You need something to do.
Sure, I understand that. How closely are you involved with Alabama football? I mean, do you still watch them every single time they're on, or are you?
Oh yeah. Well, when it's funny because there's more Alabama people around Florida than I realized now, and every game day, I'll open up the French doors on my porch in the back and crank up my stereo, play Alabama. Everyone in the neighborhood knows what's coming up. Yeah. I do that before every game.
That's good. it's been interesting to watch Nick Saban, and I know you've certainly, as a former player of Coach Bryant, you have to admire what he's doing as well, and the comparisons are always there.
Oh, you know, I'm so thankful that happened in my lifetime, because we went through some pretty rough years after Coach Bryant. Well, after what's his name?
Coach Stallings.
Gene Stallings.
Stallings, yeah. And you know, it just seemed like, God. The thing is, though, the teams, Alabama didn't have the teams that they'd had prior or after, but you still better show up and play. That's the one thing I can say. Because even though they were down on scholarships, everything else, if the team didn't show up, they weren't going to win. But I was so happy to see Coach Saban come in and turn things around and get it back the way it was. And I don't know how long he can keep this up, but I hope till I'm gone.
It's amazing. It is something to watch. Hey, it's great talking to you, Wayne. We appreciate your time, and I know you plan to be at the big gala coming up in August at the historic Bama Theater, the Wishbone Boys premiere.
Yeah, we have a 71 reunion, too, I think in August or something.
You guys still
excited about that? Yeah.
Yeah, y'all stay in touch still, huh?
Well, they let us know when stuff like that's going on.
Right.
They usually have a team back for a game every year, you know, to honor SEC championship right. teams or national championship teams, things like that.
Well,
anything to get the crowds.
Oh yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Well, we surely appreciate your time again. We look forward to seeing you, and good luck with the hurricane down that way. I hope you stay safe.
Okay. Good talking with you.
Thank you, Wayne. Appreciate your time.
Roll Tide.
All right, roll Tide. Wayne Wheeler from the University of Alabama, 1970 to 73, All-America. Interesting to hear what he says about what happened back in those days at the advent of the wishbone offense that Alabama implemented from a receiver's perspective. And he was pretty doggone good, even when maybe the balls didn't come his way as much as what you're used to seeing these days, right?
Well, like I said, back in the day when we passed in that, generally that wide receiver was wide open.
Yeah, he definitely relished that when that happened. The once-in-a-lifetime event, the Wishbone Boys, coming up on Saturday evening, August 28th, the gala at the historic Bama Theater, highlighting the achievements of those 12 years from 1971 to 82 with players, coaches, and staff, an event that many of us will certainly look forward to being a part of. More coming up on the Wake Up Call.